Hey, it's Lex and Stacy with another threesome podcast. I do believe this is the big 4-0, is it not?
It is. We have peaked and have now kind of, you know, rolling towards death.
That's right. I knew we'd hit 40 someday, just not this fast. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I meant to tell you before we got started here, I meant to tell you this when we were recording yesterday or the day before, but sorry about the Red Wings.
Yeah, you know.
I know you're a rabid fan. You love your Wings. At least you used to. I don't know how you still feel about it now.
Probably not as much, but still my heart is with them.
But I thought about you yesterday when I saw this headline, because for a brief second I thought it might be you. Red Wings fan charged with arson trying to set the Tampa Bay Lightning flag on fire at Game 7.
It wasn't me, but I do understand that feeling.
I know when the Dallas Stars and Red Wings were tangling in the late 90s, both of them had amazing teams and amazing games.
Yes.
And it was just a great rivalry. I mean, it was nasty.
It was like Mike Modano, and we had Iserman and all those guys.
Well, Iserman's the only Canadian you had. The rest were Russians.
Yes, the Russian Five. That was right around the time that Konstantinov had his accident right after the World Series, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, he had his accident, and then during, in between periods of a Stars, not even in between periods, they stopped in the middle of a period of a Wing-Stars game, coincidentally, while the Stars were just bringing it. They decided to break up the monotony by wheeling him out to center ice and doing their tribute to him. Which
he had a cigar and he had that big god-awful smile on his face.
Yeah, which was such bullshit because, A, you know, the tribute to a guy like him who did so much for you guys was literally 30 seconds long. And B, of course, to derail the Stars' onslaught of power plays and just nastiness that was going on at the time. And, of course, the game totally turned around after that, and you won 3-2.
Yay! It all worked out in the end.
And which led Terry and I to the end of time to just say what a bunch of cunt bags you guys are.
No. Well, that's how I kind of feel right now. See, it's with the Lightning. Steve Yzerman's what, the general manager there. So there's like that whole betrayal and you don't know how to feel about it.
There's no betrayal. They just took a job.
It's betrayal. He betrayed.
It's not betrayal. It's a paycheck. No betrayal. I'm sure he would have loved to work in the Red Wings organization. Did they offer him a job by chance?
I really don't know. I know that he just... I can't believe they wouldn't have, but I really don't know.
You might
want
to know that
before
you hate him, because he does have to eat.
I said I don't hate him. I feel betrayed by him.
For one thing, the chance of the Lightning and Red Wings playing was like probably nil before that happened, because aren't the Red Wings in the... didn't they move from the Western to the Eastern Conference?
I believe so.
Yeah. So... probably when he took that job, they probably wouldn't have a chance to play each other unless it was
because
in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Playing, like, no one could ever understand. Say that again.
Nobody could understand why you were in the West.
Yes.
Yeah, I certainly didn't like it. We used to talk about that all the time. It's like, I realize it's closer to the West than some places, but now Nashville's in the West.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Detroit went East, Nashville went West. I forget who else moved, if any. It had something to do with the Winnipeg thing.
Goddamn Canadians.
Yeah. Who was Winnipeg before... What city were they before they moved to Winnipeg?
I don't remember.
No, that was Calgary. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it. No, they weren't Phoenix, right? Because Phoenix is still there.
No idea. It's been a long time since I've really paid attention.
Yeah. It was somebody, or maybe it was they just made it a new franchise and somebody, I can't remember. It's crazy. But that had something to do with everybody moving. So that was what that was all about.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I thought it was you'd set the flag on fire.
No, I think that I would probably go for something a little more flamboyant and statement making if I was going to do something.
I do believe that's true. So,
I may not have much else, but I do have my creativity.
Yeah, so are you going to watch the big fight this weekend?
No.
Now, when this airs on Monday, it will have already taken place, but we recorded this on Friday, so we're all just wondering at this juncture about who's going to win this thing. So, I want Pacquiao to win because he just seems like a cool dude. Mayweather, I think, has been ducking him for the last 5 years. And there's reasons for that, and I understand them. I think they fight 5 years ago. Mayweather wins. I think he's going to win this weekend. But I think this guy's dangerous enough to him where he wanted to stay away. So it should be a pretty interesting fight, although both of their skills have diminished to a degree.
I actually know more about golfing than I do boxing.
And you don't know shit about golfing.
The last fight, literally, that I saw was the one where What's-His-Face got his ear bitten off.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yep. That's the last fight a lot of people saw. We were talking about the glory of pay-per-view going away right after that era. Like when the Lennox Lewis reign came along. A, he wasn't American, and B, the money for pay-per-view was just getting up into the $50 range.
Yes.
I remember the first time I saw it was $39. I hit the ceiling. I was like, seriously?
And especially like that one only lasted like a couple minutes. It was like, we just spent that money and that's it.
That's it. And they have all kinds of people come into your house.
Yes. We had a party.
So yeah, it's kind of weird like that. And I can't throw down $100 for it.
No.
I can't do it.
I understand.
Just because it's now too much.
See, now I could understand actually more. I'm not saying that I would do it, but I could understand more if you paid, like, did a pay-per-view for, like, the Stanley Cup and you got up to seven games, you know, depending on how many were played, at the minimum four. And obviously, there's at least 3 hours per game. So $100 if you really wanted to see, like, the World Series or the Stanley Cup or something is one thing. But again, yes, boxing, where there is a possibility it could last 30 seconds, is just not worth that gamble.
Well, UFC makes it worth it because the undercard's so good. Sometimes they'll have two or three title fights in one pay-per-view session.
Right.
For different weight classes and stuff. You know, some meaningful fights of people you've heard of if you're a UFC fan. So, you know, you're guaranteed to get a good fight out of the three. I've never not gotten that and not gotten a good fight out of the three main bouts. But they put up to seven or eight bouts on there at times, you know, leading up to the big one. So there's always something to see. You feel like you got your money's worth.
Right.
Even if the big bout, the big matchup doesn't pan out, you usually that one or two before that is so good, you're like, that was totally worth it, and I was entertained most of the night leading up to the main fight, whether it was good or not.
Right.
So I like that philosophy. They can't do that in boxing because they don't have the amount of fighters. They don't have there's so many egos and, you know, people that hold their training schedules and their travel and all that differently that they could never put together something like that. So, you know, and a UFC guy pretty much knows he's going to fight 9 weeks in advance, where a boxer could be like a year.
That's so weird.
Yeah. You know, and you see UFC fighters, the great ones, have like 10 losses. You know, they have 50 or 60 fights and have 10 losses because in that sport, you can get cold cocked. You can get taken down at the wrong time. You know, it's
right.
It's a lot more interesting. There's a lot more chance of the big dog falling. I've seen it happen a couple times.
And I don't even know why I would think this, but to me it just feels, and again, I am so not knowledgeable about any of that stuff. The UFC guys always struck me as if you pointed at them and said, you get in the ring right now, that they could actually, you know, maybe do a little warm-up and then be ready to go. But boxers are like the thoroughbreds, and you need to get them finely tuned and all this weird stuff. I just never understood that.
Yeah, these guys finely tune themselves just like boxers do. You're absolutely right. They will fight with a week or two preparation. You know, if Dana White calls them up and says, I need you on this undercard, they're like, I'll be ready.
Right.
And that's why UFC is stealing so many people away. I mean, it stole me away. I used to be an avid boxing fan. I used to never, ever, ever miss boxing. And we had Joe Rogan on the show, who's the color analyst and, you know, also did Fear Factor and all that.
Right.
And I told him I was going to be in Vegas, and it happened to be a weekend there was a huge fight, and he got me front row tickets.
Nice.
And I'm sitting next to like Kanye and Paul Pierce, and I mean it was like star studded. He got me front row tickets.
Nice.
And if he's being an ambassador for UFC, he did a great job, because I've done nothing but say good things about it after that, because nothing like having, you know, somebody sweating blood falling on you in the first row to make you get into the action.
And you didn't even have to blow him, did you?
No.
Well, then that's
and a even if I
win-win.
Do blow him, I don't want blood on me.
Well, I meant Joe Rogan, not the blood of...
Oh, I see.
A fighter.
Yeah, not a good joke.
Unless you wanted to just blow him to say, hey,
no,
I blew him.
No, I'm not going to blow somebody for fight tickets. I've always thought that's the stupidest fucking thing. I'll blow you to do this. It's like...
It obviously works.
Yeah, I've never...
Men are so easy.
I've never had a chick say, I'll blow you and you give me this, like ever.
You've obviously never had anything that a chick wanted that badly.
I don't know. I had a lot of shit people wanted for a while. I would have think there would have been a, you know, some down on her luck chick that needed some cash or something. It's never been offered.
I couldn't even get a homeless chick to blow me.
I don't want a homeless chick to blow me. I don't want to have to give somebody something for blowing me. That's what I have a fucking girlfriend or wife for. That's your job. I mean, why be married if you're not getting blown? You know, it's crazy.
I understand.
It's pretty much an unspoken deal before you walk down the aisle. You're going to be sucking this dick. And I'm going to have to do whatever it is you want. As distasteful
garbage
as it is.
Every week, out to the road.
Yeah. So, you know, it's I don't subscribe to that too much, but it was very cool. It was great seats, and I had a great time, and now I'm all in on it. It's so much better than boxing, in my opinion. But this fight this weekend, I'm definitely interested in. I'm still toying with the idea of going to a bar or something and throwing down $30 to go see it.
And so drink you can be with like-minded folks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it is cool to be in a place where everybody's vested into the same thing. Because even when you go watch football games, you know, people aren't all in. You know what I mean? They're having their conversations and all that. And, you know, you look around the bar and about 15 or 20% of you are glued to the TV. Everybody else is just there to be social.
That's the day Timmy's mom planned his birthday party over in the corner.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, now we can't swear.
Yeah.
Because there's children here.
Yeah, I don't know where you hang out to watch football, but there's no Timmy's birthday parties where I go.
No.
Fuck Timmy. So anyway. We made fun of you on the air this morning.
Yeah, it seems to be something that's happening a lot.
Oh, not a lot. Okay, a lot. But I was just laughing at your errant text.
I was so excited.
With its lack of explanation and its, you know, because it was reminiscent of the plane flying into the building on 9/11, and had you not sent it to somebody so skeptical and somebody that would just pick up the phone to call you and go, what the fuck is this? You know, this could have started World War III.
It possibly can, if that, you know, it's a scary thing to think about.
Read your text.
What's happening?
Do you have it? Do you have it handy?
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, too.
I keep everything I sent you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I keep everything you send me.
For legal purposes.
That's right. I have it right here. Would you like me to read it?
Sure. I've got it too. So.
Oh, yeah. It sounds much better coming from you.
This was the text Lex received. It said, ISIS claims to be inside Rome waiting for 0 hour.
Now, immediately when I read this, I think France and what happened 2 or 3 months ago. Or more.
Charlie Hebdo.
Yes. Yes. And I'm thinking it's another one of those deals. I'm like, holy shit.
So that is what they're afraid it's going to be.
So I know that's what they're afraid it's going to be, but I thought that was it. You know, the way your text looked, I was like, what the fuck? So I look around. I don't see anything, and finally I asked about it today, and Ian said he had heard about it and said this is what they do. You know, they tweet pictures from Grand Central Station and from London and say 0 hour is near, and
right,
people pretty much think they're full of shit.
Well, I hope so. They said that for at least the Rome location. Honestly, I try to just avoid all things ISIS. I just don't even care anymore. I have become so jaded and bitter. I just don't give a shit. But with Rome, they said that these threats have been happening for months. And like Italy, for whatever reason, from what I read, is like teamed up with Albania for like some anti-terrorism task force thing. And, you know, the Italian police are really beefing up their training and schedules and all this. And, you know, it's the Pope. If a Muslim kills the Pope, especially this Pope, Pope Francis, that will probably be the thing that starts World War III. We've always assumed World War III is going to be like China and the United States or the United States and Russia. It will be a religious war if the Pope is killed by a Muslim. I don't want that to happen, but I think that's what will.
Yeah, it would definitely escalate things.
Because that comes then from all over the country. You and I talked, you called me that night, and we've talked about this, you know. This is pretty much at this point, if the Pope dies, you know, this is like all of South America, and look at all the Catholics in the United States and Canada and in Europe. You know, Catholics are everywhere. I think there's at least like a billion of them on Earth. You know,
yeah,
they're going to be coming from all over the place. And let's not forget, whether it's true or not, it's the Catholics that have like the Crusades and the Knights Templar and the Illuminati and stuff. I think Catholics kind of know how to take care of themselves and have their secret societies, if you believe that.
Yeah. Well, it says there as of 2010, there's 1.6 billion Muslims in the world.
Okay.
So let's go to Christians. Let's see what kind of war we're talking about here. 2.18 billion.
Now, here's the thing, because, I mean, Catholics are Christian, but Christians are not necessarily Catholic. And I know, in fact, I know personally Christians who aren't big fans of the Catholics.
Yeah, but I think...
So I don't know if, like, the Methodists are going to be marching into war with the Catholics.
All right, fair enough. 1.2 billion Roman Catholics.
And, well, there you go.
And you got to figure there'd be probably another... couple hundred thousand, it'll jump in just because it's Christianity.
Because so, they're good Methodists.
So it seems like a pretty even fight.
Yeah. And that's a scary thing. That's like, you know, 2/7 of the world's population now officially wishing death on each other.
Mm-hmm. And the other 5 zillion of us laughing about it.
But, you know, unfortunately, too, if that happened, and again, this is all hypothetically, but say, you know, Pope Francis was killed by a Muslim extremist, there's going to be those people who can't differentiate between an Indian and a Muslim Arab. It will basically be all brown people are bad.
Yeah.
Kind of like what happened after 9/11.
Pretty much. On a much larger scale.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to see how that turns out, but we did make fun of you for trying to scare the fuck out of me.
Well, good.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
You're welcome.
All right, so you said you had a couple of things you wanted to run down today. Hit me.
Yes. All right, let's do this one first, because it's just fun. Cassandra Bankson, who is a YouTube celebrity who's helped millions cover up severe acne with her makeup tips.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now she's helping the world learn about something even more important. She's just discovered that she has 2 vaginas, and she's letting the entire internet know about it.
We had a discussion about dual vagina chicks on this show a while back, and I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Why?
Well, because to me, after a while, after you just pound that thing and then that other thing for a number of years, it's going to look like just one giant Arby's sandwich or something.
I don't know how that works.
We make fun of chicks that get pounded with just one vagina, and we have somebody who has a new nickname on staff, the Big Montana.
And who would that be?
Well, we only have one girl on staff, so.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm sure it's very tight and fresh and lovely.
Yeah, she's 25, I'm sure it is, but that doesn't stop us from making us feel bad.
Well, this woman doesn't just have 2 vaginas, but she has 2 uteruses and 2 cervixes as well.
Wow. She got all the toys.
Yes. She says most vaginas are just one large cavity, but this is a complete separation into 2 different cavities. I was shocked, and the doctor explained to me that it was like a big upside-down nose.
You ever watch the show Botched?
No.
It's on E. And I got to see two really special things yesterday. For one thing, they run into stuff like that all the time. People that have abused their bodies with cosmetic surgery, and people that have like a nub of a third boob growing or something like that, or there was one chick who didn't have any cleavage. It just went from like one boob into the other, kind of like the Barbie dolls look.
Like she was webbed.
Yeah, like she had webbed boobs and they had to separate. They did it, and they do amazing stuff. I mean, just really incredible. And it's hard surgery. Lots of stuff to deal with, cartilage and tissue and moving things into the right places. They do them. These two guys do amazing things to these people. But I saw something yesterday on that show. It recorded into the RuPaul show. And he has this like Sofia Vergara starter kit on his show that's like the fashionista or whatever. And she's just so fucking annoying. It's beyond measure. And she goes to this thing called Kung Fu Vagina. So they
my nickname in high school, by the way.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So I'm gonna I'll send you this on your phone later, but let me just describe what it was.
Okay.
They first started sticking like this egg with it had like a little eyelet to tie stuff to it. So if you wanted to add more weight. So all these chicks, there's like 10 chicks in this class, and they have like a vaginal kung fu instructor, and she sticks this egg up her unit and ties this little bag that you can add weight to. Well, by the end of the segment, which was like 5 minutes long, these bitches have this egg stuffed up their vages, and they are swinging like their purses, pickles, jars of pickles, pineapples, and they're moving their hips back and forth, and these things are swinging like backyard swings between their legs, like all 10 of these women,
and they're holding them up in them with their muscles.
Yes.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I was trying to figure out where you're going with that. Okay.
Because apparently you can strengthen those muscles like any other muscles in your body by doing that.
Right. But that's what keeps older women from peeing when they sneeze.
Yeah. And the female instructor, she looked 40-ish, maybe upper 30s to low 40s, somewhere in there.
Okay.
By the end of the segment, was carrying 41 pounds. She had a pineapple, a purse, a jar of something, and these things are clangling between her legs as she's moving back and forth. She looks like a whole 5 feet tall to begin with. And I'm like, I have now seen it all on TV.
Wow. Now, did they surely had to mention that when someone is as heavily muscled in that area as what she obviously was, what benefits or I guess bad side effects with sex?
There's two. The benefits are that it makes you tighter, and the other benefit is that it enhances orgasm.
Right.
That's what they're telling. That's what this chick's telling them, and which is a good thing to tell them to keep students.
I've always heard that if you can flex, and you guys know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you can make it undulate and move, you do tend to have better orgasms.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yes.
It's the same thing for us. If we get caught in a position while we're doing it where it gets, we have the opportunity to shrink the area we're shoving it into.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's the little ding. I don't know if that shows up on the audio, but You always seem to ding at that cute little sound right when you're accentuating something that you just said.
Yeah. I know.
That was perfect.
I wish I was more classy.
Why?
I don't know. I just wish I wasn't so crass in describing such things. I wish I could do it with more panache like some people can.
Like Oprah?
Yeah,
just
like
channel
Oprah.
Your inner Oprah.
Yeah, like Oprah. You know, she just, whatever comes out of Oprah's mouth is absolutely perfect.
It is. She has that gift. Her and Martha Stewart.
She knows what to say at all times.
And that's why she's worth billions.
Yeah. I mean, she just does shit right. Her and Dave Grohl never do anything wrong.
That's very true.
It is true. No wrong moves by those two people in their careers. No.
It's funny you say that, because I've thought not exactly that, but it's like, wow, Dave Grohl, you know, nothing. He just never does anything wrong. He's never had any scandal or anything.
No, I mean, he's very faithful to his wife and his family. And he's really great with his fans, really appreciates them. He appreciates where he came from. He loves the bands he grew up listening to. And even though he's probably the biggest rock star in the world right now, still views it as he gets to play with Mick Jagger than the other way around.
Right. And that's nice when you see someone, you know, be like that. You still have that capability of being starstruck.
Yeah, and it's cool to see somebody like Mick go, I think at this juncture, I get to play with him. Realizing he's not what he used to be. This guy's now what he used to be, so... You know, I'll say I'm playing with him. You know?
And he still swings in and sees Frances Bean. You know, he's kind of, I mean, I don't think he like considers himself a father figure to her, but he does feel, from anything I've ever read, some sort of responsibility to her and has kept his eye on her through her life.
Yeah, they text and talk and all that stuff and supposedly have a very close relationship. And apparently he and Courtney Love bury the hatchet. They're all right. You know,
cool.
And I mean, he's just kind of all right with everybody, you know, and his music's phenomenal. I mean, he's my man crush. I'll admit it.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good one to have.
Yeah. If I could be any dude in the world, I'd be that dude.
So not Bono.
You know, Bono. I'm just going to tell you this. This may break your heart, but because of his accident where he was under a disguise as a Hasidic Jew in New York, because his ego's so fucking big, he doesn't think he can take a bike ride as Bono and not get fucked with in a place like New York.
So Hasidic Jew is the way to go.
So he went as a Hasidic Jew, and I guess his outfit got caught in the bike spokes, and he busted himself all up. And I don't know if you remember it, but they had that concert for Red, which is their big brand, you know, their big charity and all that stuff.
Right.
And see you, D. All right, buddy. You know, that's like their big deal. So they're right before football season in New York, you know, they were supposed to play. And then I saw these people performing with U2. Like I saw Chris Martin from Coldplay singing, you know, U2 songs with a band. I'm like, this is fucking weird. What's going on here? And then then the next day I find out about his accident and that he really fucked himself up. Well, he's one of those guys where when I saw them on stage and saw him playing guitar, it's like it has no credibility with me because I knew at one point he never fucking played guitar.
Right.
There's somebody else that does that drives me crazy. I can't think of who it is. Maybe it'll come to mind before the show ends that, you know, they pick up a guitar and play. And I'm like, you never played guitar before. Why are you doing this?
It's go like grab your maracas, like, or tambourine.
It's like Donnie Van Zant doing it during the old 38 special videos, because they found out there was a guy that could sing in the band as good as he could, and he was writing more hit songs. So, like on the videos, when Don Barnes was singing, you know, you see him playing, but you know, it's like you don't hear any acoustic guitar in the song. He's just on the video playing. It's like, where's your integrity? I would never let this happen.
It's nice to see that insecurity can come from all directions.
Yeah, even if you're in the biggest fucking band in the world for a while.
Exactly.
It's like we don't expect
Goddamn Edge.
It's like we don't expect you to play guitar, dude. Edges carry the load just fine through your superstardom. You don't need to start now. Hire some schlep if you want a second guitar player to come on stage and play it, like the Stones do. Anytime the Stones did something extra in their albums over the years, it was the nucleus of the band, and then they bring people on tour with them to get the job done.
Right.
And while they were on tour, they called them the Rolling Stones, and when they left, they were gone. You know, people checked in, you know, the Mick Taylors and Brian Joneses and guys like that just checked in and out of the band.
Right.
Depending on what they were doing music-wise.
Now, is every member officially of Rolling Stones in their 70s and or 80s now?
No 80s. I think the first 70-year-old was Charlie Watts.
I was going to say, but wasn't he like 10 years older than everyone else?
Not 10, but I think he was like 6 or 7. And he turned, I think he and Bill Wyman turned 70 much quicker than Mick and Keith.
See, I remember back in it would have been in the 90s. One of those was the old ones, the really old ones, like hooked up with an 18-year-old, married or like long-term dated an 18-year-old, and he was already well in his 60s, I believe, at that time.
Yeah, I think
or
Bill,
something.
I think Bill Wyman and Charlie Watts were several years older than Mick and Keith were. Keith is currently 71. I think Mick's like 69, 68, something like that.
Keith Richards officially looks like the weird little goblin guys from the movie Legend with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Not me, because he doesn't care. He doesn't do anything to cosmetically alter his looks.
No, I know that, but it's just I saw him on the 40th anniversary with Saturday Night Live, and he came out, and it was like, in my eyes, he still looked like he did from the Friday night videos,
yeah,
like 30 years ago. I just hadn't seen him recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone talks about how Jack Sparrow is supposed to be like a caricature of him. So I still had like 80s Keith Richards in my head. And when I saw him, I was like, oh, he did finally get old.
Yeah. He, apparently ran into Justin Bieber somewhere. And
oh, tell me, please.
And pretty much told him he was a piece of shit and was insignificant.
And, good.
And Justin pretty much sat there and took it, because that's the only thing you can do when you're talking to the Rolling Stones.
You know, I agree. I totally agree. However, I think that kid might be too stupid to really have fully gotten that.
No, after seeing his roast, he's not stupid at all. He gets it.
Okay.
He's not an idiot. You got to remember, this is an 18-year-old that became a billionaire, or close right to it, and... You know,
there's a whole bunch of entitlement.
Never had a chance to be moronic or hang out with his friends or establish any kind of douchebag identity or anything like that. His whole teenage years were being told where to be, what to do, what to write. Here's what we're doing. And finally he turned 19 and went, fuck you, and went on a douche spree.
Yes, he did.
And you know, but now seeing him at like 21, I can now see that he gets it. He had his little rum springa and
a Canadian
yeah,
rum springa.
He had his little Canadian rum springa between 18 and 21 years old, just douched it up, and now has decided to get serious.
We'll see. I really don't have high hopes for him.
I don't have high hopes for him, but I wish the best for him. He took the roast in stride. He, you know, just shook his head and smiled, you know, just took his abuse. And
because, you know, you look at kids like Emma Watson is a perfect example. She was worth $50 million before she turned 18. And she has never been in a scandal. There's never been pictures of her, I don't believe, that have ever showed up anywhere. She's never been photographed like being an asshole to a fan. Her parents, before she turned 18, actually specifically made her go to finance classes so that she would have a working knowledge of how to deal with her fortune when she took control of it on her 18th birthday. So I don't believe that necessarily being 18 gives you license to be douche.
No, it doesn't. But I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. And it all has to do, you know, like the Olsen twins. You know, it's like somebody raised them right from the standpoint that you probably, now that you have all this money, and all of this fame, that's going to dwindle because, you know, child actresses are a dime a dozen.
Right.
Let's, or
that characteristic that made you cute as a child is not going to translate well to an adult.
Yeah. Something,
like
something.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. Something or somebody said that you're not going to be shit when you grow up, that you need to take your opportunity now financially to do something with your money and make sure that you are secure and covered the rest of your life with what you've amassed. And
right.
They, you know, got into the fashion part of it and used their brand and their name to do so, the Mary-Kate and Ashley thing. And they're now billionaires.
Yep.
And
there's really, I mean, not too many scandals. I mean, I guess no major scandals. You know, they certainly went through a period where you saw them drunk in public, you know, and I actually get that more than just being an asshole douchebag.
Yeah, but you saw
like
it
Bieber.
Like, you saw it like twice and realize, you know, even after Full House has gone off the air 20 something years ago, that they're still being followed everywhere.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't hold like being photographed drunk in public. I don't hold that against them.
No.
Everyone's entitled to that mistake, you know, once or twice. But again, I've never heard of them really being like little bitches to a fan or
something. No, it's like George Bush's daughters. It's like, yeah, they're college chicks that got photographed drunk. What a surprise. I don't care. They're not the fucking president. Their dad is. That's who I care about.
Yeah, but he did shape their lives and their personalities.
That's bullshit. I mean, I know so many people that were raised just brilliantly that when they got to college became total fucking morons just for a little while.
Very true.
And I know this because I'm one of them.
Me too.
And mine, have to be honest and say, went well past college.
Mine too.
And I did my thing, and one day I put down childish things like you're supposed to, and that was that. But my childish things went far beyond, I'm sure, even the Bush girls.
Well, but you didn't have Secret Service to keep it quiet for you.
No, nobody gave a fuck about me to have Secret Service to keep quiet for me. Even when Lex and Terry was at its heights, you know, it's like, you know, you're pretty blasted, man. You want people to see this? I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's Lex and Terry.
Watch me shit off this heel
right
here.
You know, I'm creating segments, not embarrassment.
Your little bald head poking over the grass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I have the shits. I'm going to talk about it.
I love that story.
My tragedies and my triumphs and everybody else's on the show is what it's all about. Always has been, always will be.
Yep.
You know, I know I used to drive Terry crazy when I talked about my cocaine years.
Yes.
Like there was some secret badass out there that was going to stop the show because we did cocaine once.
Good. Tell cocaine, please.
I know it made him uncomfortable, and I hate that, but that's somebody I was for a while.
Right. I've heard him tell the story about how you offered him the job, and he's done the imitation, so, you know.
Yeah, I was doing blow while I offered him the job.
Would you like the job?
Yeah, you want this job or not? Oh, you don't want any? Cool, more for me. I got enough for the both of us.
Yay!
Sweet. Man, you are a great employee. The rest of my staff would totally snort this. Yeah, we definitely come from different places. So, that's pretty much it. I don't really have much more to add to that. So, in our pre-talk here, you and I saw the same thing and thought it was pretty funny. Because anytime people, you know, in their desperate plea for attention get what they deserve because of it, it's funny.
Yes. Oh, it's awesome.
So, since you are so eloquent at describing these things, go ahead.
No, he's just talking about the Facebook guy?
Yes.
A Montana man who had two warrants out for his arrest could not resist the temptation of liking his own wanted poster on Facebook. Could we really blame him? He was obviously seduced by the image of his own mug staring back at him, causing his trigger finger to go straight towards it like a magnet. It's 23-year-old Levi Charles Reardon was being sought out by police on suspicion of stealing a wallet and cashing several fraudulent checks earlier this year. And, they posted on Facebook and he couldn't help himself. He clicked that like button. He later unliked it, but it was too late. They already knew. And that's how they got him.
Oh, my God. It's like, dude, you might as well just put a GPS on you.
That's the thing. People, if you're on the internet, please be aware that there's this thing called IP addresses. And if there's like, and I can't even think of an example, but if I absolutely did not want to be associated with a website, I'm just not even going to type it into my web browser or ever visit it.
Right.
Because there are records all over the place that you visited that website.
Yes.
Now, odds of a human eyeball looking at it and noting that you visited are probably very slim unless they're specifically looking for this.
Yeah.
But
unless they have your computer and...
Yes.
But when you go on Facebook, Facebook has a record of it.
Yes. In many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, so does Google. So does, you know, honestly, let's be honest. Everyone has a record of everything that you do online. You can't even use Tor anymore because the NSA has cracked that. So if you don't want to be spied on, just throw your computer out a window, unplug it, and unsubscribe from internet.
Listen, just don't be a dick and do bad things. You can go all over the internet if you want.
Yes.
Seriously.
Agreed.
And it's not our fault that you were, you know, a douchebag and did a crime and now you're going to jail for liking your own Facebook page. There's a myriad of stupid things you've done there. And it's funny
too. It
wasn't
just a page. It was his mugshot. Like, you know, that means he specifically went to, like, I'm going to assume the local cop Facebook page.
Yes.
And went, oh, look, there's my picture. Click. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's where to find me. What an idiot.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can just picture myself getting stoned with that guy going, dude. They're so coming here.
As people fact, like that.
Yeah.
When I'm having a bad day and just feel like, you know, I'm just a big pile of shit.
Uh-huh.
Those are the people that make me feel better about myself. Because it's like, I haven't done that yet. There's still hope for me.
Oh, man. So, you're an idiot, dude. Nice going.
So, now I have this other story. Oh, did you want to do something else?
No, I was just about to. I knew you had something else.
And I want to lead into this first because I actually had this conversation last night with someone, and I don't know if it's because of my age. My issue is I see things on the internet that are now becoming very apparent to me that they are just blatantly sexist. And, you know, I am the first person who enjoys humor. I enjoy an inappropriate joke more than anyone. That is like my lifeblood, uncomfortable humor.
Or you used to.
But I see some things now that I'm starting to become a little offended by.
And what is it, Toot?
There was a picture the other day. Someone... See, that doesn't bother me.
What is it, honestly, Sugar Tits?
You know, when Mel Gibson called that cop, that female cop who arrested him, Sugar Tits, I believe that will forever be my favorite moment of comedy. Nothing can top that. I will still randomly burst into hysterical laughter thinking about him calling her Sugar Tits. I love that.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
So like disrespectful.
Yes. And see, that doesn't bother me. But it was a picture of some blonde chick with like big giant tits, but she doesn't look like she's a model. Very girl next door.
Yeah.
And there are her big giant tits, which are just like maybe a size below stripper tits.
Right.
But they're still pretty big. And the comment was, I wonder if it's something about, it's too bad girls with big boobs will never know if they're actually interesting or not. And I get it, but it still offended me. And I talked to a friend last night about this, and it was like, you know, I fear that I'm going to become a humorless bitch with the whole sexist thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Help me, Lex.
Yeah. No, listen, I've done like two or three podcasts where I'm sensing this coming out, and I fear for you.
I know.
You're going to ruin our podcast.
Well, I apologize in advance. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't want to become humorless.
You made a threesome podcast with Lex and Steinem.
And my pierced clit.
Yes.
Because, you know, hers is. Because yeah, girl fun. Power.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. If you want to put a pearl in your oyster, go ahead. I don't care.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was thinking a hoop.
Yeah.
Something a little daring. Okay. Well, here's the thing. And I suspect you will be the one to be able to find humor in this. Last week, a Reddit user pointed out that curious prom posters approved by the principal of this person's high school had begun appearing all over the school's walls. Okay, so imagine, you know, high school. You've got the little prom posters everywhere. The posters, which featured a woman, it's like a picture of a woman, but she's made out of words, you know how they do that, the shape,
yeah.
Suggesting good qualities, reminding young men that prom was, quote, a night to protect her character. Now, the signs, which did not feature a male counterpart, this was this is just for chicks, you know, rankled students at Lincoln High School, but I don't know what state it's in, who expressed that it was unfair and frankly gross to print posters that suggest that doing something sexual on prom night would somehow render a woman no longer classy, honest, or loyal. How do you feel about this message?
I think everything with school, and I've had this problem as Samantha goes through her high school years, the political correctness is so far over the fucking top, I don't even know how to deal with it.
Now, you think this is political correctness, or do you think, like, for instance, me being a little offended that they are insisting that a woman's character is something to be protected, but you don't mention anything about, hey, boys, why don't you try not fucking someone on prom night?
How about not even bringing it up?
And, agreed.
And let a girl make her own decision on how her fucking prom night goes. She's already
agreed.
She's already had her parents raise her to hopefully value herself more than you are putting out at the prom.
Now, if a boy has sex, though, is he valuing himself or devaluing himself?
I was raised by my dad to read the room when it came to girls and women. I pretty much had an explanation about every kind of woman there is. And he says, he goes, look, you're going to run into girls that are very promiscuous and are going to want to have sex and relations. And he goes, here's what you need to be aware of if that happens. You are on the hook if you get them pregnant. You could get diseases. There's two ways to avoid that. Not doing it at all, or if you decide to move forward, make sure you have protection.
Right.
Because then there's the girls that you're going to be attracted to because of who they are. And they may look pretty to you, and you may have sexual thoughts about them, but there's a reason you value them that probably is less sexual and more emotional and heartfelt.
He said that can be said about anyone, though, male or female.
He goes, I encourage you to be aware of that type of relationship and go towards that type of girl, because in the long run, relationships are relationships, and those are the best ones.
Right.
He says, and then you have your girl that treats you bad. I definitely encourage you to stay away from that. I don't care how hot she is. He didn't use the word hot, but he goes, I don't care what you think the end game is. He goes, that's somebody that's selfish and does not care about you.
Right.
So he broke
down.
He broke down the different chicks. He never was that guy that gets depicted in movies of, that's my boy. Yeah, you got some pussy. Yeah. You know, my dad, in spite of the fact that he was quite a hit with the ladies, and I think that's the reason why, is because he genuinely liked them, respected them, and loved being around them.
Right.
I almost think he enjoyed the chase more than the get. You know, as far as the flirtation and all that. And my mom completely understood that about him and let him have his fun. And it was very educational. Because my dad was not a super great looking guy. He had like skinny bird legs and a little bit of a paunch in his stomach. But, you know, he wore nice suits and was very gentlemanly and classy around people, and women just gravitated to him like I've never seen. I never really knew what his secret was, but he had it when it came to chicks. And I think that's why, because I think they sensed that he really liked being around them. And I've passed that on to Samantha, saying it's like, look, you're going to do what you're going to do. I can't stop it as a parent. I'm not going to sit here and tell you when I think it's okay for you to have sex or not, because it's just stupid. You know I have no say in this. It's your body, your mind. But I can give you some perspective.
But that perspective never in any way made her think that if she ever did decide to go fuck, whether it's lovemaking or just good old-fashioned fucking, that she is less of a person because she did it.
No. I've tried to get across to her without blatantly saying it that, you know, a girl is just as apt to close on a guy as a guy is on a girl. You know, you don't strike me as that type of girl, but it's like I don't have bad feelings about girls that are predatorial in what they want, be it a relationship, be it a sexual relationship. The terms are the same. But I have told her that when that time comes, it should be with somebody you value.
No, I understand that, and I agree. I mean, that's a good thing. And you would hope that for, honestly, any human being.
So, in other words, don't go to the prom with some douchebag you don't know and fuck him, because you're going to regret it.
But it doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't make you damaged goods if you do it.
No, you're way overthinking this. I don't think girls think they are damaged goods for doing
it. No, I know that, but that's what these prom posters are implying.
Yeah.
That's all my point. No, I don't think girls are.
And I've had talks with other parents at the school and all that. They see this shit too. It's not just some people that see it. They all see it and feel a need to say, look, I don't know what that's about. It's like just ignore it. It's ignorant. It's fearful. It's all the things that if you are these things in life, you're gonna fail at life.
If you are a wonderful person and you're a good listener and you make people feel special when you're with them, and I don't mean in a sexual way, but you know, if you're just one of those warm, generous people, but you like to go fuck four sailors every night at the same time, that should not make you any less of a warm, generous person in other people's eyes. You're still that good, awesome person that people like.
Yeah, I do think you need therapy of some kind, but I understand. I get it.
Yes. That's all. It's just these things like this.
No, listen, you know, it's nice to hear another Footloose story, but it's the fact is, you know, somebody who really has their own mind and has been raised correctly looks at that and laughs and goes and has a good time. And hopefully they have the parents that say, listen, that's bullshit. You know, whether something happens or not, you're a great fucking kid.
And a great fuck.
You know? I always tell Samantha that. You know, it's like I really don't know what's going on with you. I just know you're a great kid. To me, you're a great kid. You know, and it's like I don't want to know what's going on in her sex life, or I don't want to police that. I feel like I've already done my job in that area.
Right. The most you can do at that point and at her age is honestly be there and make yourself available so that if she has something, you know, God forbid something terrible happened that she needs to talk to someone about right away, that she feels comfortable enough to be able to come to you and tell you something horrifying.
That was the whole job right there. So that very thing could happen. So that's pretty much it. We got to wrap things up, Stacey. The alarm went off. So, you know, great podcast. Enjoyed it very much. Yay. And we covered a lot of ground, which is awesome.
Yes.
And we reached 40, which was cool. So
Metamucil time after this.
So we're doing now a couple of podcasts a week. So if you want to go get it, where do you go, Stace?
ThreesomePodcast.com. And that's the number 3, not spelling out 3.
We're also on Facebook at the number 3some podcast. And you can see everything we got going on there. So there you have it. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.